On the fourth season of the reality TV show Project Runway, men's designer Jack McEnroth abruptly withdrew from the show due to a serious staph infection completely unrelated to his HIV status. A real-life jack-of-all-trades, Jack's now working on a design-inspired TV show pilot with Kevin Christiana.
He's in Chicago to promote his HIV education campaign, Living Positive by Design, as an honorary guest of Design for a Cure.
And he's training to compete in men's swimming at the Out Games in Copenhagen. How does he do it all?
We've got the sexy, fashion-savvy Jack McEnroth in the home studio. He's taking your questions through Facebook, and he's telling it all. How does he stay so healthy, muscular, and sexy?
How serious did he get with fellow reality TV star Dale from Top Chef?
What's it like to play a dead body on Law and Order?
And what are the fashionistas really like? Find out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Today's show is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube wants to know, how are you healthy? Go to LifeLube.org and tell them about it.
On the fourth season of the reality TV show Project Runway, men's designer Jack McEnroth abruptly decided to withdraw from the show during season 5 due to a serious staph infection completely unrelated to his HIV status. McEnroth was the first openly HIV-positive contestant in the show's history. Since then, he's working on a design-inspired TV show with Kevin Christiana. He's now in Chicago promoting his HIV education campaign, Living Positive by Design. He's an honorary guest of Design for a Cure and training to compete in men's swimming at the Gay Games in Copenhagen. He's in our home studio and he's looking good,
hey,
dressing good, and tastes good. Hi, Jack.
Hey, ladies, what's up?
What's up?
Welcome.
Woo! And actually, just the correction is the Out Games.
The Out Games.
And the Gay Games will be the next.
Because that's going to be Cologne, I think. Yeah. I think the Gay Games, you actually promised that you would do ballroom dancing to the listeners.
I did not promise that.
Oh,
I asked the listeners whether or not I should compete in the next Gay Games, and some, I'll do anything.
Right.
Anything. Like sword swallowing, women's wrestling,
synchronized
or something.
Swimming. That'd
anything.
Be good.
Yeah. And nobody, like, there couldn't reach a consensus.
So ballroom dancing, have you seen it? Like,
it's fierce.
Gay Games? Oh my God, the top people, I mean, there's several levels, obviously, but the top people, the men, that's ridiculous.
And it's the
amazingly
it's
fierce.
The ticket to get. Like, it was impossible to get tickets to go see that when I was here last time.
But you're like, you're a jack of all trades.
I know.
You know, you swim a lot. You're in fantastic shape. You look great.
Oh, stop it.
And you're a great kisser and very tender lover.
Thank you.
And you're also a designer, and you're sort of like developing all this reality television programming. But you're here also for something very special,
right?
Living Positive by Design.
No, I mean, the exposure on Project Runway was great. One of the great things that came out of it, like you said, out of many things came from just being on the show, but I was open about my HIV positive status, which some people from Merck found out about that, and they thought, well, it's like, this is a possibility to really launch a platform that people know this guy, they maybe see themselves in him a little bit, and they developed this program. Which your listeners can go to livingpositivebydesign.com and find out all about it if I miss something.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. What is the mission of Living Positive by Design?
Well, basically, it's a program that it's about, it really speaks to HIV positive people, and it's about visibility, and it's about, I'm kind of trying to set an example of that, about really talking openly, having thoughtful conversations about HIV to kind of get rid of the stigma and like the mystery and the judgment around having HIV. And then beyond that, it's really a kind of a roadmap for HIV positive people to be their own healthcare advocate and, you know, partner with a doctor that you trust, know that there's a lot of treatments options out there that are available, and that there's many of them are, you know, highly tolerable because side effects are a problem for some people sometimes. And that the ultimate goal for an HIV positive person is to have an undetectable viral load. So, you know, get your blood work done, know your numbers. And
how do you get that viral load undetectable? What's the best thing you can do?
Well, you know, there's dozens of treatments out there. You know, people are doing cocktails and, you know.
Like vodka?
I don't think that's really good for viral load.
My doctor said I have to have 3 cocktails a day.
Everything in moderation. If that works for your viral load, hey, I'm not a doctor, so amen. Go for
one
it.
I play with one on my free time.
So how long have you been dealing with Living Positive by Design? How long has this been your mission?
We started it right after the show, so mm-hmm. I think this is the second kind of fiscal year of it, so. We debuted it at the U.S. Conference on AIDS in Fort Lauderdale, mm-hmm. which was, I believe, almost over a year ago.
Because you're here and you're meeting with a bunch of AIDS organizations, AIDS Foundation of Chicago, TPAN, Howard Brown. Is that typically what you do? What you do in this role is you go to different towns and cities and talk to the AIDS organizations, or is it a kind of like a one-on-one thing because you have a website and people write and ask questions?
It's all of the above. Okay. I mean, I get a ton of outreach. Just because of the internet, I'm so accessible just on Facebook and all that, and people can go through Living Positive by Design, and there's a ton of links. But it depends, and it's really a grassroots thing. Mm-hmm. We like you said, we meet with a ton of AIDS service organizations and try to talk to clients and try to be, you know, walk the talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the conversation about, though? Like, what are you saying? Like, we need more money to this kind of...
Well,
aspect of the disease, or
I'm not necessarily preaching anything like we need money or mm-hmm. here, let's take government action. It's about being visible and like, here I am, look at me. Maybe I can be a role model for you to some degree. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a ton of stuff. Hopefully if you're someone living with HIV that you know, have a full, healthy, successful life.
Is it important? Now, you're a reality TV star and you're very well known. How important?
You are. Well, okay, to your personality.
A personality.
Yeah, a personality.
So you are a celebrity. In my mind, you're a celebrity.
Okay, thank
how
you.
Important?
Yeah, because he's hot.
In my mind,
and let
too.
Me tell you, people, he is just as good looking in person as you think he would be.
He smells good, too. How important is it for somebody that's not a celebrity or a star to be out and open or visible about their HIV status?
Well, I always say to people that ask me that question, and people are obviously hesitant to do it just because of the stigma. I always say, think of the greater picture. Mm-hmm. Anytime you tell one friend or tell two friends or tell your family or tell a whole community or go on national TV and blurt it at the top of your lungs like I did, you're helping everyone else who's in the closet about being HIV mm-hmm. positive. So, you know, I think every little step adds to the whole community.
Has there been any costs to you being HIV positive and proud and open about it?
Not that I know of. I mean, there have been a lot of benefits. I mean, there may be opportunities that I was passed over because of, but I don't know about them because they were never approached. I was never approached, but no, I don't really think so. I had one crazy woman who used to email me once a month and just write crazy non-sequiturs
really?
That I was going to burn in hell. And yeah.
Oh, well.
We're pen pals now. We're like besties.
Really? Did she still write to you?
Yeah.
She wrote
me last month.
Did you convert her?
I have her email address. I can say it over the
phone. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding.
I would never.
Did you convert her over now? Or like?
No, she still hates me.
She still hates you? Hates you for being HIV positive or she hates you for being gay?
Well, you know, she's just clearly crazy because she herself told me that she was HIV positive and that I was a bad representation for people that are HIV positive. And then she goes on and on, but then it started to not make sense. Like she would, yeah.
But I would imagine that there are people going just like there is sort of like, this mm-hmm. is the right way to represent gay in the media and the wrong way.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and there has been a teeny bit of backlash here and there, like, oh, you're trying to glamorize HIV because, you know, you're muscular and you have your photograph taken and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, my response to that is, I'm sorry, I can't be a black woman. But you could if you tried.
Well,
I can with a lot of makeup and some heels.
So, why did you choose not to return to the show Project Runway the following season?
Because you were offered it, weren't you?
Yeah. That's a long, convoluted story. I'll try to sum it up briefly.
But give me the Cliff Notes.
The Cliff Notes version is, you know, Heidi said on the reunion show, please come back. When I was leaving, Tim and the head producer said, you know, you're invited back without auditioning next season. No questions asked, blah, blah, blah. When I actually came to that moment and I was on the fence, because we had to sign this hideous, like, 1 year contract, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this again. And plus, beyond that, it's excruciatingly hard. Like, you have no idea how hard it is to actually go through the experience. So I approached the producers and I was like, you know, I'm thinking maybe it would be fun to do this again. And they're like, we changed our mind.
Oh,
so they told you no. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, no, because I actually said that I initially said in the press that I declined, but their argument was that, you know, it's not real. It's not totally real. It's heavily produced. And,
sure.
And like any reality show. Mm-hmm. So they thought that I had too much insider information, basically.
So you'd have one up on everybody else.
Yeah, which is kind of true, because I would have gone in and they don't prep you at all. Like, literally, we meet at a certain point. They put us in the van and they're like, okay, off to your first challenge. When you start,
but you had seen the show before.
Yeah, but you just, like, you know, there's all the stuff that you don't know about, like how they take us off for those bobblehead interviews where we're with the mannequins behind us. That's like 2 hours of interviews that you have to factor into our work time. They could pull you out at any time. You have to learn how to talk in sound bites. Like, that's what's going to air.
Right.
I know you have to be nice to the producers or they'll kick you off. You know, there's little tricks that you
really,
people get
kicked off for being like not nice to the producers.
They're like, oh, so-and-so is a bitch. I'm going to get rid of her next episode. Oh,
so
yeah.
So who was biggest bitch in the season that you were on up to the episode 5?
Well, I don't like to bash, but let me just
please
bash
do
for a second. Okay.
It's only on the internet.
Right.
No, it
doesn't
whisper.
Really count.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one who was portrayed as the bitch of the show was Victoria, the Asian woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's actually quite delightful. She's stubborn, and she got in that tiff with Ricky, the guy who wore hide all the time and wore the hat.
Oh, yeah.
Who, he's a douchebag. but, you know, the crazy, Victoria was a victim of, I think in one of her interviews, she said something negative about Tim Gunn.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
which never aired, and like he heard about it, and like next episode, bye, Victoria.
I really admire Tim Gunn, and I actually think that, you know, for all these reality TV shows that we get to see, from American Idol to RuPaul's Drag Race, he is the one judge that actually gives some really constructive, insightful, helpful information, not just about the fashion, but about all the contestants as people. And I felt like in a lot of ways, I don't know if they just edit him to come across as really like insightful and soulful, but he's one of my favorites.
So he's not really like that.
Well, you know, he is. He's he's a delightful guy. And the reality of it is, is when he meets with us, he meets with us each for like about a half an hour.
That's really wonderful.
Right. And but he's telling us a lot of stuff. And so he'll tell us stuff that you're like, I'm not going to do that. And he'll,
like, what is he telling you that you were just like, no way, this is crazy?
He's giving
you
fashion advice and he's like saying, oh, put fringe on that. And
well,
like,
every once in a while, I mean, my designs were fairly, I mean, I don't do really crazy avant-garde stuff. So he never had anything too off the wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a couple suggestions he made where I was like, I don't have time to do that, or I'm not going to do that. But basically how it works is they back edit him. So whatever happens on the runway and what the judges say, they go back and find footage of what Tim said and make it look like he says God's word.
So this is just like,
he is very smart and insightful and has a really great eye, but it always makes him look
production
like he's spot
process.
On.
Well, so let's get back to, so who was the jerk of the show then?
Oh, the crazy, crazy, crickety crack crazy is Carmen, the black girl. Remember her?
What did she
was only on for 3 episodes, right. But she was batshit. Like,
I forget what she got booted for.
I don't know.
She was during the menswear challenge, and her model didn't even have a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
What about like, Steven Rosengard? Was he
he's
crazy?
Delightful.
I hear he's just like completely insane.
He is. He's. You know what he is? He's kooky nuts, but like kooky funny nuts. Like, I love him. Like,
I love him too.
Yeah.
He's a friend of ours.
He knows
I'm baiting you, basically.
He knows I'm here, and he emailed me. I'm like, I don't think I have time to see you, but I love hanging out with him.
Oh, he's not
and
coming
he's
tonight?
A horn dog. He is a horn dog.
So
every time
heard.
We go out, he's. Yeah.
Shout out to you, Steven.
Yeah.
So he's not going to come to the Design for a Cure? I can't believe it.
I don't know.
What should we wear for that? Because it's like, you're a fashion guy.
I'm wearing a tube top and a thong.
Hot. So it's going to be very much like your YouTube video of Flashdance on the Metro scene.
I don't know what you're talking about.
First when there's
Do you
nothing.
Regret doing that?
No. I put it on YouTube. Hello.
It was a little, I have to say, like the first half hour of it, it's wonderful, but then it gets a little tired.
It's only four hours.
Video, how did that video come across? Were you guys like, you know, having a couple of cocktails and said, you know, would be really good ideas for me to recreate Flashdance on the New York City subway?
No, it was supposed to be my audition video for Project Runway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, basically what happens is you get to a certain level, you make it past the panel with Tim Gunn and all the stuff that they used to air. They don't air anymore. But then the next step is you have to make a 4-minute video. And I actually auditioned for season 3 that I didn't get onto. And I made it really close. Okay. So I knew I had to make a video. But they give you like 72 hours to make it. So I was like, I'm going to make this fabulous video way ahead of time. So I go and I make this Flashdance video. I just wanted to show that I was a freak, you know, and whatever.
You did a good job.
And I was like a good TV personality. Yeah. And if anyone wants to watch it, it's on. Just put it in Jack McEnroth Flashdance on YouTube. Yeah. It's hilarious.
We'll put a link up. Now, when you were on Project Runway and you left, I remember reading before that there was actually, it was a big giant ordeal. Like this was a day long process. You were crying, you were tears, but they edited it down to like 1 minute or something.
Well, you know, you have to remember, the challenges are like 48 hours up to maybe even 2.5 days. And they edit those 48 hours, and there's 5 or 6 camera crews. So there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage that they have to edit it down into 48 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that episode 5 was all about me leaving and Chris coming back, but it's like, how much can they put in? I mean, I was crying for like 6 hours before talking to doctors and talking to the producers and what am I going to do? And, you know,
this also happened around the same time that MRSA hysteria was going on.
Oh, yeah.
So was that what was going on in your head? Is that you were thinking, oh, my God, I have this MRSA that's going to kill
me? Well, I knew I had it because I'd had it twice before, actually. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it appeared on my face, I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. So, and they did their best. I have to give the producers credit. They had a doctor on set and they were really trying, but it's like, you don't, in TV time, like in reality time, it's once a week, it looks like we have a challenge. In TV time, it's every day.
Right.
We had no days off. So I was actually really only there for 12 days. And that was, you know.
Because you were on how many episodes? It was 5 episodes.
5 episodes.
So it's really like we had
2 days of promo with where they do all the shoots and the commercials and all that stuff. And then the rest was just nonstop.
Like, well, inevitably, you did die because you did play a corpse on Law & Order.
I've had two cameos.
That's my favorite ever thing. That if you can ever be a corpse on any program, it's Law & Order.
Well, my dream actually is to be murdered in like a slasher film. That's what I really want to do. That's like my high goal. But playing a corpse on Law & Order was a close second. Although it was super hard. You think
it'd
be?
It?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you had to train with that ball gag, right?
No, people. I think we're joking. You were actually
a corpse
that had been choked to death by a ball gag, and so they removed the ball gag, and your mouth was like, ah.
Yeah. Well, see, the funny thing is, when I signed up to do the whole thing with the ball gag, I didn't know any of the backstory. I didn't know that I was like supposedly found with a ball gag in leather with sex toys like smattered around. I'm like, my mom is gonna be so proud of me. I'm on Law & Order.
I think that's really like to me. I was cheering when I saw that. I was like, this is wonderful. Wonderful. I was kind of jealous, though.
No,
too.
I had to sit there with my mouth open, like in rigor, for like an hour while they did the scene.
And you're like, don't breathe.
And the director was in the other room and he kept being like, wider, wider. Because my mouth was like, oh.
It's like going to the dentist.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because you played the murdered lover of a sports star.
Yeah.
It was very cute, by the way. Yes. And you're also very cute. So it was possible. It was, you know, we didn't have to stretch our imagination.
Good.
Now, you were romantically paired with Dale. The Chicago-based second runner-up from season Top Chef.
Dale Levitsky.
Are you guys actually a hot item on the blogs for a while?
Yeah. Is this true? Did you guys actually ever like kiss and have sex?
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't know. You know, sometimes these things are manufactured.
It was manufactured. Like a lot of it. I mean, Dale's a really great guy. We met a couple times. Actually, we met on MySpace before Facebook does this whole
thing.
OMG. No, I emailed him. Like, the funny thing is, I had put in my who do you want to meet section. I'm like Dale Levitsky from Top Chef because I thought it was cute. And one of his friends found out and forwarded it to him, and he wrote me. And I was like, we should hang out sometime. So he came to New York, and we went to the Out 100 Awards, and we were just hanging out, and it was, it kind of just happened really quickly.
Was
and
he as cute as you
expected? Yeah, he's him super nice, super cute, really funny, hilarious.
Did he have the mohawk?
Yeah, the faux hawk, okay. Which I love the faux hawk. And we just kind of hit it off, and we were kind of like canoodling at the Out 100 party, and there's tons of gay press there. And I was like, dude, you know, if we do this in public, it's going to hit.
And he's like, let's do it.
And I was like, and he's like, yeah, he was like, okay. And so basically like one kiss turned into like, we're married. And like people still to this day are like, how are you and Dale? I'm like, I haven't talked to Dale in 8 months or like a year. So.
And he's like, please call me back.
No, no.
So it fizzled.
Well, it was nothing. It was just, it was like a couple days.
That's what Dale said to me. He was like, tears were in his eyes.
I know. Yeah, he's still probably sitting outside my apartment right now crying.
I think he opened a restaurant here in town, so he did. Sure he's probably busy with that.
Well, he was going to open a restaurant called Town & Country, and I don't know if
I think it did open. I want to say
did it?
It may have. I don't know.
I want to know. Okay, this is interesting one that, you know, thank you, Wikipedia. We would be lost without you. On October 15, 2008, McEnroth unveiled a custom-design wedding gown crafted entirely of condoms as a visual reminder of the importance of safer sex and correct, consistent condom use for San Francisco's Project Inform. The project was especially challenging because McEnroth is allergic to latex. Are you nuts?
Oh my God. I need to read my Wikipedia page. I've never read it. That's funny. That's totally true.
Why did you build something that would kill you to make?
Well, the funny thing is I'm violently allergic to latex, like anaphylactic shock. I should carry an EpiPen like craziness. So the funny thing was this all took place in San Francisco, and I had to have interns because they mailed me like 4,000 condoms. It was a crazy wedding dress. And if you go on jackmcenroth.com, there's pictures of it. But I'm sure they were cursing me because they had to remove all of them. Before,
all the condoms out of the wrappers.
Because I just used the wrappers.
Oh, so, you weren't using the actual.
No, I had them all removed, and I just used the wrappers.
Oh, so it would be pretty. I thought it would be some kinky,
so you could actually touch. You could touch that stuff.
Okay. So and it came in this big bag. And they were all sliced open on the side, and they slipped them out, but they didn't wash them, so it was like this lubey, messy thing rolled around. So midnight. It took me about 4 days to glue gun the whole fucker. It was a nightmare. So, Like 4 days before, I'm in my bathtub with soap and stuff, swishing. I'm like, the fashion is so glamorous. It's like midnight, I'm in my bathtub with gloves, like cleaning condom wrappers.
Because
like,
it's a lot of hard work making stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of tedious.
So if you're allergic to condoms, to latex condoms, I guess, you know, everyone props up to mind. What do you use?
Everyone asks that. There's polyurethane condoms.
They're so like, you use the polyurethane stuff?
Yeah.
Is it better? I mean, what do you think about it?
I like them. They're thinner.
Because you can use oil-based lube.
Yeah, you can use silicone-based lube. And
most of those like female condoms are made out of that, too, I think.
Yeah.
They're a little bit Glad baggy. Like, they're a little bit like you're wearing a... yeah, like a plastic bag, but they're, you know.
And you're like,
what else are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Anaphylactic shock or natural sex?
Instant death or sex? You pick.
We're talking to Jack McEnroth. He is in Chicago for a variety of things. He's here for you're to promote his HIV education campaign, Living Positive by...
Living Positive by Design.
He's an honorary guest of Design for a Cure. And what should we wear tonight?
So tonight is Make a Statement Design for the Cure. It's a benefit for AIDS Foundation of Chicago. And it's at the River East Art Center tonight at 7.
Should I wear, Jack?
Oh, and this.
What do
this,
I need to wear? Help me.
I told you. I'm wearing a tube top, a thong.
You can get
and
away
wedges.
With that. You have bigger breasts than Dolly Parton here. But I mean, like, what for someone like me?
I think it's
T-shirt, jeans.
Yeah, it's just called cocktail casual, is what they're saying.
Really? So I like the way I'm wearing
black jeans and like a button-down shirt.
Oh, okay. I think you should wear a sports coat, a sports jacket.
I don't want to. I want to get my game on.
There's going to be, it's like cocktails and dancing.
Can we have our photo taken in public? Maybe we could start a little bit of rumor.
Yeah.
Totally. It'll be me in the background shaking my fist going, what is going on?
Yeah, bring the tambourine too. That'll work.
So we're taking questions from you guys through our Facebook profile, Feast of Fun, or my name, Fausto Furnos. Jamie Falou wants to know, hey, Jack, What's up? I remember watching the show and seeing you decide to leave for your health reasons really burned me. You could have easily won that season. Oh, he's giving it to you. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to commend you for being a brave icon on our community and to wish you the absolute best on your career. That's not really a question, is it?
But no, but then you feel like you would have won if you had stuck around.
No.
No.
I mean, being completely honest, I think I could have made a run at the final three. Mm-hmm. Christian was a great winner. I love him and I'm really proud of his success. Like,
you guys make a cute couple.
Well, thank you. I can put him in my pocket.
I don't think he's your type though, is he?
No.
Like a sister. He's maybe.
Maybe two of them put together. The thing about Christian that was crazy is he was a pattern maker at Vivian Westwood and McQueen for a year each, just interning. So he basically, Project Runway is a huge sewing contest.
Right.
It's like who can sew the fastest. And he would like eyeball patterns. When we were all like, we'd be done with one garment, he'd be like, oh yeah, I made a shirt and then a pair of pants and a cape and a jacket and then a hat. But I didn't really like the pair of pants, so I made it a skirt instead. And we'd be like, fuck you, lady.
Because is that the key to winning, is really knowing how to make a pattern?
Well, it's just about speed.
Okay.
I mean, because the thing is, I could design anything on paper. You can make a sketch of anything, but we only have, you know, with food breaks and pee breaks and the interviews we had to do, like a one day challenge would actually be 8 hours. So like imagine having to make a whole entire outfit in 8 hours. It's craziness. So
at Carlos Torres, after all these years, there's still an inherent fear of men with HIV in the gay community. I've met dates recently that have come out as positive, but they seemed fearful and reluctant at first, as if it was a deal breaker. For me, it isn't. Why is that? And what do we do to overcome it?
Well, I've been asked that question a lot. I think, you know, you can't blame someone who's HIV negative for not wanting to date someone who's HIV positive. I totally get that, and I'm comfortable with that. I'm cool with that. And another reason for negative people to try to want to stay negative, it's not always fun. Dating as an HIV positive person can be really difficult.
I don't think it's difficult for you.
Well, now everyone knows, too, so it's not really a surprise. So,
right.
I don't think there's really an answer to that question. It's like, you know, if you're, and for some people it is a deal breaker, and I get that.
Jonas Astrom, where did they find the marble they carved you out of? Is it hard for you to, because you're sort of like taken in this.
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
But you're solid. So you're in great shape.
Thank you.
And you're a competitive swimmer. But also you're like a reality TV personality, a designer. I mean, you wear a lot of different hats. You're literally a jack of all trades.
Right.
How do you balance all this stuff? Because did you even get to go to the gym today?
No. No, I went yesterday, though. I had an hour.
How do you do that? How do you balance? Because all these gay guys are like, oh, my God, I wish I was in shape. I wish I could balance my career. You actually managed to do it.
I just make it a priority. Like, I get up early. Like, for swimming, I don't have time to do it all, so I swim at 6 in the morning from 6 to 7:30 in New York. When I'm in New York, I swim.
Oh.
You swim for an hour and a half?
Yeah, every day.
Wow. Well,
and then I go to the gym. I mean, I kind of think of it. I think of it as part of my job at this point. It's like, I mean, hopefully this TV show that I'm working on happens, and you have to look good on TV. I mean, I just think of it as this is part of my job. Like, all of it. So and, you know, I think it's part of maintaining my health as well. I like to go to the gym. It makes me feel
strong. What can you tell us about the TV show that you're working on? Because I know some things are hush-hush, but
nothing.
You can't tell us anything about it?
No, basically what happened is right after Project Runway, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Besides, the appearances are fun and you know, just going to bars and saying hey and getting paid for it is fun. But that lasts for about 10 minutes.
Right.
And then it gets boring. So I wrote this concept for a design show, and I kind of just shopped it around to various production companies. And two of them were like, that's really cool. So we started developing it. And that started in September. We went to a bunch of networks and pitched it in its own original format, and all of them said not so much. So we revamped it, and then now we're like with a network, and we're filming the pilot in a couple of weeks in LA, and then based on what happens with the pilot, then they buy it or not.
I wanted you to do a detective show.
That's what it is.
where you solve crimes with fashion.
That's what it is. Oh my God. You just totally like got my idea right on the head.
It's like a fusion of
it's
Law
like
and
Nancy
Order.
Drew meets yeah. Project Runway. It's amazing.
That would be for or Law and Order, you know? And sometimes you play the dead body.
Sometimes I'm dead. Alive. Yeah.
So you're to save money.
Yeah.
You're working on the show with,
Kevin Cristiano, who is the straight guy from my season.
The right. Joey Fatone.
The Joey Fatone. You described right. as Joey Fatone.
Well, everyone.
Does he know you describe him as that?
No, probably not. He won't listen to this.
He won't know.
No, a lot of times I'm like, you know, the straight guy from Project from my season, and they're like, who? I'm like, the guy that kind of looks like Joey Fatone, and they're like, oh, him, right?
So. What is the future with Project Runway? Because they've taped a whole season, and it's not been released because of all these contract stuff. Is it going to ever air?
No, it's done. It's aired. It's airing in August.
It's airing
as soon
in
as
August.
Because the fashion show, which is Bravo's replacement mm-hmm. to Project Runway, is airing now. Like it starts this week or whatever.
Will you watch that show, the fashion show?
Yeah. I've seen outtakes from it already.
Okay. He was winking when he said that.
I love. Listen, I like any. I'm a reality hag. I love all those mm-hmm. shows. If there's talent involved, like the Real Housewives and the ones where they're just like exploitive TV is boring mm-hmm. to me. But if there's talent, like I want to see the talent.
You want to see a challenge. You want to see people.
Yeah,
do things,
like I love RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm sure I'll watch the fashion show. I'll watch the new season.
Have you considered trying out for RuPaul's Drag Race?
I think my shoulders. I'd have to wear everything strapless.
We can make it work.
We can make it work. We actually have a question from Christopher Royal Melvin. Curious if you watched RuPaul's Drag Race, and what was your thought to Angina's public acknowledgement about her status when she broke down into tears?
I have actually spoken with her on several occasions, and then I do a internet radio show every Wednesday at 2:00 Eastern time, and she was on the show, so I love
her. What is it?
Pause I Am.
If you go to, you can go to Pause.
Sounds like a city in the Czech Republic.
Pause I Am. POZIAM. And if you go to, it's blogtalkradio.com/
No, it's
Pause I Am.
Blog Talk Radio.
we use that from time to time when we record shows with listeners calling in and stuff. Like that, I love it,
you know, because it's a technology uh-huh. that allows
anyone to have a radio show.
To have a radio show, and all you need is a telephone.
And we call her Nedra. I don't know who she is, but she's like obviously like Indian or something, but like living in England.
Totally. So
we always come up with like different names to call her.
And people always ask me, you know,
it's Nedra.
Why don't you make a guest appearance on some of those blog talk radio shows? And my answer is, I do.
Right.
They just don't know it's me.
we prank sometimes.
No, but Angina's great. Like
yeah. she's Angina.
Because sometimes he's Ryan, sometimes she's Angina, so I'm like he, she. But super sweet. Kind of, you know, your typical drag queen doesn't really know what the hell he's doing, but.
Well, we had a bunch of shows.
Lovely.
Because you're a fashion kind of stylist and guru. Like, does she ever take advice from you?
Well, we actually talked about me making, because she's doing like the Pride circuit, I think mm-hmm. this summer. So we've talked about me making a dress and a hat for her.
I would love it.
She loves the hats.
Yes. Yeah. I would make a men's suit for me.
You know what? I'll get right on that. Give me 10
minutes.
Just find something on the street and then put a strap on and be like, oh, John, I made you a hat.
Yeah.
She'll put it on.
So like a dead squirrel. I found some roadkill. Here, John, I wear this.
She'd be like, thanks, Jack.
When she like broke down and cried and she was like very emotional about it, what did you think? Because there are some people saying that she overreacted to it. And there's also Rebecca Glasscock, who was sort of estranged from her friend who was mm-hmm. HIV positive. And she was sort of accused of manipulating the situation.
Well, you know, I mean, I always give anyone who's on a reality TV show the benefit of the doubt, just because I know editing, mm-hmm. who knows what happens. But I'd asked her about that. I'm like, what were you thinking in that moment? And she's like, I was actually just thinking about my parents and the whole experience. And like, you have to remember that they've been doing that MAC cosmetic mm-hmm. challenge for hours and hours and hours. I'm sure they're exhausted. And like, I don't think she was overreacting. It's like, you're in the moment, you won a special challenge, and it's like, this is a big deal.
Because that's actually a big part of reality TV is sleep deprivation.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
No, they use guerrilla war tactics. Yeah. We had our call time. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Our call time.
I believe it.
Our call time for mm-hmm. the show was 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then they sat us in vans for like 4 hours. We weren't allowed to talk to each other. And then like
really?
Our first challenge was the one in Bryant Park. We're in like the beating sun for 2 hours. And like they just made us stand there.
So
and then we
it?
Had to run across the, you remember we had to run across Bryant
right.
Park and grab the fabric. And so we were awake for 22 hours the first day. And then we slept for 4. And then we did it all over again the next
day.
Wow.
So who was in charge of the waterboarding? Was it Heidi or Tim?
Yeah. Heidi was in charge of the waterboarding. Nina was
waterboarding all of us.
Bill Pritchard wants to know, Jack, you are hot. Call me. You are a fellow hometown Seattle guy. You're from Seattle?
Yeah, originally.
And you are educating through example what life is like as an HIV-positive individual. How do we propose we teach teens today to fear AIDS like we did in the past? I don't know if it's fearing AIDS, but
no,
be aware of
well,
us,
I think there's a part of the fear that was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made people be really cautious and protect themselves. So I just think you need to remind people that it's still very serious. It may be manageable. Hopefully it is manageable at this point. But, you know, there's besides, I mean, you should protect yourself regardless because there's Hep C, hepatitis C out there. Which is not fun. And being HIV positive, like, yeah, I mean, for me, it's been very manageable. But for some other people, it might not be. There's side effects from medication sometimes. You know, and you can get your strain of HIV may develop resistance. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on. So we just need to keep drilling those points home to people, the young people, so they do take it seriously.
Does it get sometimes tiring to talk about HIV? And I mean, because this is like one aspect of your life, but you're a very complicated and diverse person.
Tiresome is not really the right word. I mean, sometimes for me, it seems repetitive, but then I run into people that are ignorant still. And I'm like, really? You haven't heard this? All this information is not new information. It's just, but I think you just need to continually deliver it so people can finally hear it.
One of our sponsors, LifeLoop.org, always asks people, how are you healthy? Because they want to present gay men as healthy individuals striving to be healthy and not always be so concentrated on, you know, we drink too much, we party too much, we don't take care of ourselves. So how does Jack McEnroth stay healthy?
Well, obviously, I work out. I take care of myself. I keep busy. I sleep a lot, like when I'm in my, you know, when I can.
when I'm not busy, not sleeping.
Yeah. No. And then I think advocacy helps, you know, helps me a lot just personally, like giving back to the community and doing work like, you know, my website and Living Positive by Design and all that stuff, I think just makes me a whole person.
Because a lot of these things you do out of your own free will and volition, you're not actually getting paid for it.
Yeah, no, I do a ton of other HIV appearance, like for events. I mean, when you go onto a show where that gives you national exposure, you're asked to do everything. Mm-hmm. Like people just come out of the woodwork, like come to this event, come to this breast cancer event, and they're all really worthy events, and I would love to be able to do all of them. HIV obviously is a very personal cause to me, so I really focus my attention on that because I can't do everything.
So the guy from MASH came out today.
David Ogden Steers.
Yeah, Alan Alda?
No, I wish I was a David. What is it, Alan Alda? No, David Ogden Steers. He was the bad guy on the show, Major Charles Winchester. His quote is, "I am," in parentheses, gay, because he actually didn't say the word gay, said the 60-year-old actor in an interview with blog gossip-boy.com. "I'm very proud to be so. I enjoy working, and even though many have this idealistic belief that the entertainment industry and studios like Walt Disney are gay friendly, for the most part they are, but that doesn't mean that for them business does not come first. It's a matter of economics. Most of my more notable work..." Where's my other sheet?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just make it up.
Must have been
I
off.
Love Jack McEnroth.
Just make it up.
I'm so a groovy SOB. So what is the thing? Because Kelly McGillis just came out and
I was more excited about that.
In 2007, she denied being a lesbian when she went on the L Word.
Of all shows.
What is this hypocrisy? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That's too hard of a question for me.
Is it money? It's money and work, I think.
Yeah,
for a lot
no,
of
I think it's
people.
Money.
I mean, for someone like you, it's sort of inconceivable to be in the closet, you know, but you run into designers all the time who are the most flamboyant, extroverted, colorful personalities, and they're like, nobody knows I'm gay.
I know. Well, like, even, I mean, I thought Project Runway, it's so everyone, you assume everyone's gay until proven otherwise. Santino, I remember, was like, oh, I'm ambivalent, and I don't like labels, and I'm like, oh, queen, really? Like,
because he was on first season or second season or something like that,
second.
What are your thoughts on Santino as a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Kind of boring.
I don't think he was very constructive.
Yeah. I like him. I've met him a couple times. Okay. He's a nice person, so I'm not going to bash
him. Nice guy.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not a good fit for her.
Well, Angina was telling me that, like everything else in TV that's edited, they would sit there and their high. He's like, we were on that frickin' stage and our high heels were like 8 hours while the judges ripped us to shreds. And they show like 2 sentences of it. So
I like, and that was the most insightful.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Try something different. I don't get you.
I mean, he may have said a lot of stuff that never made it to the show.
So you don't know.
So
but we'll see you on. Hopefully, we'll see you on there tearing some drag queens apart or a new reality TV show.
And so. Then there's Mike Rogers got into all this heated discussion with a guy from
Morning Television. Let's Talk Live. Are you familiar with the new documentary Outrage? And they're telling it's a documentary on outing politicians who work against gay rights. And so Mike Rogers has outed people throughout his career, specifically anybody who is fighting against gay rights in politics. And he went on a morning talk show, and the talk show host was talking to him saying, I don't believe in outing people. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take you outside into the parking lot and punch you in the face. It's like,
oh my God.
It's so ridiculous. Guy was so transparent. I can't, it's actually not loading up because I think our internet connection just went down, but, it's incredible because the guy is so transparently, obviously distressed by this individual who says, if you don't help cook the meal, you don't get to eat.
Right.
You know, if you're fighting against gay rights, why should you have the privilege of being in the closet?
Right. Yeah.
And it was
and
such
enjoying
a
all that gay sex
and the hot, delicious sex with Jack McEnroth.
Oh, right.
But it's sort of strange, you know, that would even that anybody would argue that that you can be fighting against the rights of individuals and at the same time trying to participate in the goodies of their community.
Yeah, I mean, I personally agree with him, but. I mean, I know there's an art. I could play devil's advocate and be like, you know, everyone is entitled to whatever they do and freedom
of
speech.
Well, you have a right
and,
to privacy, but you violate that right when you start fighting against other people's privacy.
Yeah, when you legislate against people's what they're doing.
Well, I also
in the bedroom.
Think when you enter a public forum, it's like your life is open to public scrutiny. So if someone has something to say about you and someone wants to out you, like, you know,
well, do you feel that your privacy has been compromised in a way that you didn't personally enjoy it or expect?
No, I kind of thought it through as I was getting into it. Are there times when I wish that I could just disappear? Not so much now. It's funny because people, I think the public has they have the memory of a goldfish. So once you're off TV, like the kind of celebrity where people would come up to me on the street and be like, oh my God, like that lasted for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so I just have a normal life in New York. I ride the subway and walk around. I mean, nobody.
I loved you on Survivor.
Yeah, totally. No, I get a lot of now I'm like, God, you look so familiar. How do you look? And I never offer it up because I feel like it's a douche. If I'm like, oh, I was on Project Runway. And they're like, no, that's not it.
That's
like,
not it. Yeah. I know you from someplace. No, you have to find some other celebrity that you look like and just say, I'm that person.
Yeah, I'm Queen Latifah.
And then walk away. Listen, since you're sexy and you also played a corpse, have you heard of the Body Worlds exhibit where they plasticize these bodies? Well, the guy that created it, who's, I think he's kind of creepy, Gunther von Hagens. So he
plasticizes dead bodies.
Dead bodies
and so now dissects them afterwards.
And so now he has a new one, a new exhibit called Cycle of Life, where it has these corpses engaged in sex acts.
Wow. Is there any gay sex?
I don't know if there's any gay sex, but
I highly doubt it.
People are being critical. Like a Social Democrat member Fritz Feldengru told the newspaper, love and death are obvious topics for art, but I find it quite disgusting to use them in this way. So I don't know. It's just
quite
like,
disgusting.
It's lucky it's actually here.
Isn't it? So I don't know. It just seems kind of weird. I don't think I'd want to watch two corpses going at it.
I'd love it.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a market for that.
You think?
Yeah.
Necrophilia?
Yeah. No.
The necrophiliacs would be like excited. His eyes are like, yes.
The necrophiliacs would be like right at the front of the line. Yeah. Although, a side note is that apparently in the first exhibition, he didn't get permission to use those bodies.
Like, oh, he didn't?
No, they were all from like communist China or something.
Oh,
and
really?
He just
I didn't
bought
know
them.
That. Yeah. I'm trying to convince my mother to donate her body to that so that I go visit
well,
her.
Well, we all could donate our bodies to that.
Or you could just plasticize her.
yourself.
I don't know how to do it. I think it's
real easy.
Is it?
Dip them in a candle. You're good to go.
Since you played a corpse, did you get any of that kind of necrophilia fan mail? Like, I loved you as a corpse.
No.
No requests from lovers to be like,
well, he's not going to acknowledge it on the show. No.
You never know.
You don't, you're a very open and accessible person. I'm surprised that one of the millions of people.
The weirdest thing I've had is people wanting me to mail them strange things.
Really?
Like underwear and stuff.
And shoes.
Scat.
And socks.
You know, I've noticed that is like a lot of these like YouTube sort of like hunks that do videos of them working out or like flexing their bodies or just posing. That you read the comments and they're like, dude, I would pay you so much money if you mailed me your underwear.
Yeah.
Like a revenue source.
I know.
You could do like designer underwear and then put it on and then sell it.
I shouldn't even admit this, but I'm going to.
Do it.
Because an interesting morsel. I had a friend who worked at a very prominent sneaker company, and I'm kind of a sneaker person. And he was like, if you take pictures of your feet and email it to me, I'll send you free shoes. So I did it.
Oh, I have six pairs. I love that.
That's hot.
You should sell
underwear. It's harmless fun.
You should do it like sell underwear, and when they get it, have really it be nice like these feet, little lace the panty way. Ones.
What size foot are you?
11.
Oh.
So if anybody wants to send you some shoes,
yeah, please do. You know, email me and I'll give you my address.
I need one of those little devices that goes.
Well, you just did it. You're fine.
But I want like the real thing. Oh, okay. So someone wants to mail one.
Will you send me some shoes and I'll send you one of those?
That'd be awesome.
I don't even know what that is, but
it's
okay.
Called a boinging thingy.
That's the technical name, right?
Well, we gotta thank you so much for coming on the program.
My pleasure.
You are
my
just pleasure. Fantastic, Jack McEnroth, and it's MAC.
K-E-N
Roth.
R-O-T-H.
Is that German?
Yeah, that's German.
Okay.
And you can also check out your internet radio show on HIV Issues, blogtalkradio.com/pause, P-O-Z-I-A-M. And what other websites do you want to draw attention to?
livingpositivebydesign.com.
Which is fierce.
It's fierce and fabulous. And there's a great amount of information on there. And jackmcenroth.com is always good for what I'm doing.
And lifelube.org, your sweet spot on the net. They sponsor today's show.
Yes. Tell us how you are healthy at lifelube.org. Gay, sexy, healthy. Hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yes. And the music that we're going to be playing for you at the end, I think like Hypnotize is good for you.
Hypnotize.
That's by Jeffrey Straker from his album Step Right Up. It's available on our website, feastoffun.com, home of fabulousness. Jack McEnroth, we love you! So I am Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Killian.
Remember, you can subscribe to the Feast of Fun podcast on the iTunes Music Store and never miss a delicious show. Just search Feast of Fun on the search bar and hit subscribe.
And I want to remind people you can join our Facebook fan page. Just search for Feast of Fun and we're there.
That's all we got for you today. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Killian.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Thank
you. Bye. Bye. Cold. I came inside, but you've been